Hello, I'm Josh Widdicombe.
And I'm Rob Beckett.
Welcome to Lockdown Parenting Hell, the show in which Rob and I discuss what it's like to be a parent during lockdown, which I would say can be a little tricky. So, in an effort to make some kind of sense of the current situation...
and to make me feel better about my increasingly terrible parenting skills...
each episode we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how well they're coping.
Or hopefully not.
And we will be hearing from you, the listener, with your tales of lockdown parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, none of us know what we're doing.
Hello and welcome to Lockdown Parenting Hell with...
Isabel, can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
Very strong.
Can I guess, is that Northumberland?
That is...
North East, is it?
No, well, do you know what? They live in Scotland. I don't think she's Scottish, is she? That is...
sounds a bit Geordie.
That is Isabel, who's 2 and 4 months, or she calls herself Zuma from Paw Patrol. We enjoy the podcast and fall asleep to it, but it doesn't mean it's a B-list podcast.
Oh, I think it does. I'm sorry. I think we might have to take them off the podcast.
We put the rest of it on another day if we've missed it.
I think if you are definitely catching up again, it does slip into A-list.
Yeah.
But you've got to be catching up on the last 10 mins.
Yeah.
You can't just write it off as I've done that. That stinks of B-list, doesn't it? It reeks of B-list.
It does reek of B-list. That is Vicky and David Pickering, who live in Moray, between Aberdeen and Inverness. Whoa, that is far up north.
That is well north, isn't it? That is like any norther, you get souther.
And then, do you want to hear something? David... is from Lewisham. Yeah.
No way!
Yeah,
you
go.
I tell you what an advert for Lewisham. I'm going to get as far away as fucking possible. Well, it's a lovely area, Moray, up there.
Yeah.
Windy-o. Fucking window.
Yeah. Have you done Aberdeen, Rob?
I have done Aberdeen, and I've done Inverness as well.
I think I'm meant to be going to Inverness.
Oh, it's great. It's in the summer, it's amazing. It's light till about midnight.
Well, I look forward to it in 2022. How are you, Robert?
Good, pretty good. Back on the ranch. And, you know, all that sleep I thought I'd caught up on has immediately vanished. It's not how it works,
annoying,
is it?
You can't bank it.
No, because when what happens is when you get, like, you know, if you get tired, if you miss another night's good night's sleep, it slowly drains away at you, doesn't it? But if you had a really good night's sleep and then you have one bad night's sleep, it is immediately back to, like, 10%.
Yeah. Completely.
I don't know how that works, but yeah.
Completely.
And what I've realised is the reason why couples sort of clash is that the parents are never truly both happy at the same time. Because you do things where for us, Lou sort of does the getting up during the week and I'll get up Saturdays and Sundays. So all that means is Lou's got the ump all week and then is buzzing on the weekend. Then on the weekend, I feel awful. So it's just sort of, you just sort of take turns in feeling awful. And is that what life is?
Well, yes. It is.
Yes.
I think it is until they're about 7.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's just a short period of time.
It's just a decade of your life, Rob. Lost, never to be got back.
Yeah.
I had a tough one tiredness-wise on Saturday, Rob.
Go on.
Last leg, got back at 1:30.
Oh, did you have a few beers and a blur, Doc?
No, I'd had a couple of beers until I reached our legally allotted time when we had to leave, which was very... I'm going to say it.
Oh, don't let the 3 a.m. girls hear this. They'll be all over it. Hot goss.
It's having a beer as you're tidying up your stuff to leave the last leg is almost too close to real life that it's actually too tempting. Do you know what I mean? I don't miss it as much when I'm just locked in my house. But that one Friday when I'm allowed out and I can sniff that I should be in the green room is actually worse.
Yeah, than if you didn't at all.
Than if I didn't at all.
You know it's close. When we did filming for Robert Romesh, sometimes what you do if you go and film on location was filming at like a athletic centre and they had like a canteen, like cafe, restaurant-y place that we were like dropped all our bags and we were waiting there to film social distance. And then we had like a catering company that sort of did us food for our filming day and they just gave it to us on plates in this like canteen. I was like, I'm out of dinner. I feel like I'm out of dinner. so weird.
Do you know what? I prefer not to be almost experiencing the joy.
Life. Yeah.
Do you know what blows my mind? Maybe I'll change with age. But parents that take their children to Glastonbury, I'd rather just not go, Rob.
Do you know what? It depends on the age, because I would take like mine this summer, and they'll be like 5.5 and 3.5 to like Latitude.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do Glastonbury. It's too big.
Imagine knowing that you're in the greatest party in the world and you're making a fucking wind catcher with your child in a circus field.
See, that's the thing with Latitude. You're not at the greatest party in the world.
Exactly.
That's what makes it easier. It's just like quite a nice festival for posh people.
Yeah, exactly.
Latitude's good, to be fair. I do like it. It's a bit cold. They'll
still book you. Don't worry. You don't have to backtrack.
I don't want to lose that Latitude coin. But like Glastonbury is get on it, go mad kind of festival. Where Latitude is, no one ever really gets on it at Latitude, do they?
So my friend, she listens to the podcast actually. Her and her husband will take their children to Glastonbury. Children about 9 and 11, 8 and 10, that kind of age. And they'll do one night each going out.
Yeah, but the... Nah,
imagine, no, Rob. Imagine if your night going out was the first night.
And you just got to look after kids for 3 days.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The best way to do it is... And I've got some friends that are older that do this. They're in their, like, 40, mid-40s. And their kids are teenagers, so they can like literally be left, like they're at uni or whatever, and they don't even have to worry about getting a babysitter or whatever. They just go to Ibiza for a week and just go insane.
I mean,
and then it's just like that is a 15-year build-up of wanting a big night out. 15
and they, year yeah, build you've had up.
It's a 15-year build-up, because that's like they are that like it's when you have comedy crowds. The hardest audience I find is normally a mum and her mates on a first night out after having a baby, because they're very nervous about leaving the baby. They're lightweights because they've not drunk as much, because sometimes they've been breastfeeding or whatever. They're really excited to see their friends, but they're a bit emotionally, a bit stressed because they've left their kid and they drink too much and just go fucking mental.
Well, do you know the worry there, Rob?
Yeah.
We haven't gigged in a year since we started doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome to your new audience, mate.
Oh, God.
That's going to be your tour audience.
Yeah, it'll all be like inflatable cocks, sashes, dick straws, Hendu Central, mate.
Classic Hendu. What's the most popular Hendu? Stretch Limo, Rob Beckett Live, and then Flair's Nightclub.
I'm going to get Stacey Solomon to open. She'll do 20 minutes on Loose Swimming and Joe Swash. Yeah, I think I can't take them to Glastonbury. That's too much, I don't think. Not for me. Yeah. I'd rather just leave them on their nan and granddad or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, how are parenting things?
For me, well, I've got a few things that I've got to go through here, because I've not given you much because I was in the flat, weren't I, for a bit.
Yeah.
Screen time, it's getting out of hand to the point now where they can recognise the sounds of TikTok trends.
What?
So there's a tick. Do you like? You're not on TikTok, are you?
No.
So there's this TikTok track. I'll get the sound for you, right? Called Oh No, and it's like, oh, let me turn that down. And it's used. So Oh No, it goes. Like, oh no.
You're a nightclub,
oh
Rob.
No. No, that was just the advert.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, mate.
Because of my habits online, I'll get adverts for like JD Sports or like a nightclub or something really like young, and then it's like debt management. Hang on, this sound. Oh no, right. This sound is used on clips of people doing something wrong. This. Do you know this?
No.
So this is played. So if someone's walking along like an icy river and just before they fall in, it plays this. So it's like a sound that's used on TikTok, and then someone walk along and then, oh no, like that. So if I'm listening to it TikTok, the girl's running going, oh no, oh no, oh no, show me the oh no, show me the... Because it's normally a slapstick fall. So they're aware of TikTok trends, which I don't know if I'm creating some sort of Bill Gates, Zuckerberg super brain, or they will just, you know, be on, you know, Britain's Got Talent gambling apps or whatever. The good news is, though, they like The Simpsons.
Oh, Ooh, that is
they're
good.
Into the Simpsons, which I like. That's a good thing.
That's good.
Yeah, I imagine you're like this. You love music and you love Blur and stuff like that. That I imagine you really... I don't like music as much as you like music, but I imagine you really want your kids to be into cool music that you can go to gigs with them when they're older. Well, the reality is that won't happen, but you sort of want that. But you don't want to push it, because the more you push it, it's less likely. But they sort of organically got into The Simpsons, where it was just on one day.
I would love my children to be into The Simpsons, Rob.
Yeah, so I just sort of put the Simpsons on. And Bluey. Bluey's a good one, but it's not as good as The Simpsons. But, yeah, they're into The Simpsons. So I'm really happy about that.
How much do they get it? Does it make enough sense?
Well, it's so funny, though, constantly funny. Do you know why I think it works? It's because Simpsons, there's no real narrative in each Simpsons episode. Something happens. And it goes on to something else, but it jumps quite quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're doing a puzzle, we've lost a piece. Oh, look what I found, and I'm looking for the puzzle piece. I found this outfit that I used to wear when I was 20, Homer would say, and then it does flashbacks and stuff. So I think they're quite like, it's snappy, but I think it's just Homer being silly. It's almost like, he's almost like Daddy Pig, isn't he?
It looks, yeah, he is. In many ways, he's the 90s Daddy Pig, isn't he, Homer?
He is, yeah. So,
be pleased about that.
I'm very pleased about that. So,
what would you most like your children to be into, Rob? And if you answer, I just want them to be happy. I'm hanging up.
I want them to...
If you could choose, what hobby would you most like to share with them?
Oh, so
would you want them to be Arsenal fans? Would you want them to be boxing fans?
No, do you know, I wouldn't know.
Golf?
I know it sounds bad. I know you want to bond with your kids, but I quite like having stuff that is just like what I do. Do you know what I mean? Well, like, I can't wait till they're like 14 and just want to go shopping with their mum and I just watch football all day. I know it sounds like some sort of dad from the 70s, and I know we have to be all woke and thingy, but that is just normally what happens, isn't it? The daughters go shopping with their mums and the dad sits on their own drinking. That's what I grew up with.
Oh, mate, Rob, is that your dream? That you're going to be...
I would miss that. I'm only messing because once... If they were doing that every week... But the thing is, I would go shopping with the girls and I'd love to go... Like, if it was a traditional sort of girly going shopping, going to the spa, which is sort of stereotypical activities.
Yeah.
I would happily go to a spa. I'd go and get a manicure and a pedicure. I'd love all that. So like, I would happily do that with Lou and the girls. But what I'd like...
But also, they'll be able to catch up with you, because on their girly day out, they'll end up getting a cock balloon and going to see Rob Beckett live, won't they?
Yeah, exactly. Good. And Joe, good on them. If they're going to enjoy themselves. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'd quite like them to have something that they... Loved that. For me, I love doing stand-up, and like, even if I weren't getting sort of paid, I'd always do it as my hobby. So if they can find something that they love to do and it doesn't really feel like work, that's what I'd love most.
And I would say this though, Rob.
Yeah.
If you somehow managed to send your career in a direction where you're just doing stand-up as a hobby with no way of getting paid...
Yeah, that is bad.
It's gonna be bleak as hell.
Yeah, even if it's your biac, even if...
People going, you know that guy?
Yeah.
He used to play huge venues. Now he can't even get a fucking fee for this.
We refuse to pay him and he still does an hour. We've had to start putting him on at 5 o'clock when they're filling in the venue. Well, what would be the best thing your kid could do that you follow them around the world doing, right? So, like, you know, like, would it be, like, if they got into golf? Golf's quite a nice lifestyle.
But, no, I think having a child who played sport would be too... It would always be tense, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Do you remember they used to cut to, like, you know, Judy Murray?
Yeah.
She's never having a good time.
Yes, but I think, as I'm getting older, actually winning isn't that important. Really, like you want to win, and they'll want to win, and you understand that they'll get nervous and really want it. But
you've got to remember, Rob, you're not playing for the same prize money as Wimbledon.
Yeah, I know, but I was listening to a Johnny Wilkinson document. Have you listened to Johnny Wilkinson's, like, the way he's changed his mental approach to stuff?
No.
He's done loads of therapy, I think, and just completely changed the way he's thought about stuff and how that his approach to his life when he was at his most successful was he was at his most unhappiest. When he was winning the World Cups, and about how that he put too much pressure on himself. He thought that winning the World Cup made you be something, but actually it's what you feel inside and stuff like that. So I think even if they did do sport, I could hope... No, I'm telling lies here. I'd be fucking screaming for him to win.
But I think that's a very good point about Johnny Wilkinson. I think particularly in what we do, or if you're in an industry that's competitive, there's this kind of presumption that there is going to be something you achieve that will unlock a happiness in yourself.
And it doesn't happen.
And I think the realisation that isn't the case is probably the most freeing thing that can happen to someone.
100%, yeah.
We can both identify people that haven't had that realisation.
No, and I hadn't at the start of my career, and I think I sort of have in the last year or so, and I think COVID's helped with that. But where you realise, actually, getting Live at the Apollo, or selling out your tour, or hosting the variety performance, or getting a BAFTA, or whatever those things are in your industry, it may be becoming a headmaster, it might be doing £1 million worth of sales at your company, or whatever it is. Once you reach those things, you actually get there and go, that's not what's going to make me happy. It's your approach to the world that makes you happy. So I think, I don't think I would be that tense watching them win a tournament, because I'd know that they'd want it and it would kill them. But I just got to understand that they're on their journey to realise that that won't make them happy. And you can't tell them, can you? You can't. No one could have got through to Johnny Wilkinson before the World Cup final and go, this don't really matter, man. Do you know what I mean? He'd be like, fuck off, I've got to win.
I think what we're both trying to say, Rob, is that we didn't want to be number one Peter Crouch. You can have your fucking number one spot in the podcast chart.
Yeah, I mean, sure, we were the biggest podcast in the country this year. Who cares, baby? And you know, genuinely, I know we're joking though, but genuinely, if we doing this show, I just love doing it, and I really enjoy talking to you, and it's freeing and fun, and I enjoy it. If we were 50th in the chart or 100 or 1, it's nice to be 1, and it's good, and you get benefits from all of that stuff, and it's easier to book guests and that. But I am now, my approach, cause since all of COVID, and this may be a bit too deep, is I'm just doing stuff, maybe because I've been on my own for 2 weeks, but my approach now is to make sure that every day I wake up, I'm enjoying that day's activities, and it's fun, and I enjoy it, because I can't waste any more of my life suffering with stuff just for the sake of saying, I did that. Do you know what I mean?
Totally, Rob. Couldn't agree more. That's genuinely... There's positives you can take out of the lockdown like that.
Yes.
And in 4 months, when we come out of the lockdown...
I think what it is the lockdown's made you realise everything's been taken away from us. If you think about all of our freedoms to the point of... Like the other day, like I went for a walk with a friend and I was like... Oh, my other mate, his other mate worked in that building. He went, does he want to come out as well? I was like, well, we're not allowed to do that. The fact that you can't walk through a park with two people is mad. And having all that taken away from you, it made me cherish and realise how amazing certain things are in life that you would have just disregarded as, like, you know, me and you do filming and they'll go, oh, you're going off to Portugal to film. And you're like, oh, God, well, I'll get that in here. Like, when the reality is, oh, my God, get to go to another country and meet new people. And all that stuff's sort of gone. So my approach now is to make sure that every day I'm doing something, I'm enjoying it and not just putting up with it for what someone else deems as a success.
I think, do you know what?
Yeah.
We didn't expect this to be the intro to Sean Lott.
And you're going to get a very different vibe from him. Oh, wowee. Yeah.
You're feeling chilled out and zen listening to this, just pause it and go and enjoy that feeling for a bit.
Yeah, and then when you want to sort of swear at the world, come back and plug into a bit of Lockie. It's a good episode, don't it, Joshua? Sorry for getting a bit serious. Got a bit serious there, but I think it's good sometimes, isn't it, Josh?
Totally. I think that's, you know, that's what this is for. And yes. I think the thing with Sean Locke is, of all the comedians, he's probably the one I most enjoy watching and the one you're most excited to see what they say.
He's so
and
good.
He barely podcasts, if he ever has podcasts, so it was amazing when he said yes.
Well, I think he's one of the best comedians this country's ever produced.
So do I.
So yeah, enjoy Sean Lock. He's got, is it three kids? Two kids? Three teenage kids, yeah, which is, and the thought of having teenage Sean Locks in the house, well, you'll find out how it's going.
Hello, Sean Locke. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. Can you hear me all right? Is my mic dealing with my microphone?
Thank you. Well, this is an honour. You've only ever done one other podcast, Sean. So this is your second. This is very exciting. Thanks for doing it.
Second podcast, yes.
Can you give us a quick explanation of your setup at home? How many kids have you got and their ages?
I know this one. Now, I've got two daughters. One's 17. No, she's not. She's 16, but she'll be 17 in March. I've got another daughter who will be 15 this week, and I've got a son of 11 who will be 12 quite soon.
Do you teach them, Sean?
No, because they're at an age where at any age it wouldn't be of much use, but their age is, they don't need me, which is quite good, actually, because I've got friends who've got younger kids who say it's hell. I'm really glad I've escaped that, but there's other issues, let's call it.
What are the other issues?
Well, you know, just living together in lockdown. It's hard, isn't it? It's really hard. I think, I know that probably, possibly when people see three comics talking about parenting, they're assuming we're going to choose the humorous side of the topic.
Yeah.
But I'd like to counteract that and kind of balance that. I think it's terrible. I mean, it's really terrible what they're going through, kids. I really do. I feel for them. So it's fucking terrible for them. Terrible.
Yeah.
When they're older, the issues are really about attitude and, you know, just generally what the troubles they're going through, which are compounded by lockdown. So seriously, I'd be loath to criticise my kids, really. So I think they're doing an amazing, amazing job of coping with it. All they've lost, all the socialising, which is what you are as a teenager, you're a social being and you want to find out about how to make friends and more friends and meet boys or girls or whatever. I don't know, you can't call them that, whatever, can you? That's me off Channel 4 for a couple of years. Like, you know, the idea of a moody teenager.
Yeah.
They are moody. They're fucking moody. Unbelievably fucking moody. Imagine how moody my teenager's going to be. You know, like, you're so, you know, genuinely, you know, upbeat and like, I'm sure you have your moments, as we all do, but, you know, it's going to be a very different, if you think of it as like a sort of a measurement, like you're that moody, so they're going to be that extra bit moody. Mine are, I'm up there, they're like, way, they're touching the ceiling. So they're very moody, very, very moody, which I've learnt to both understand and be completely ignorant of, say, in the same day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like
in the same day, an understanding, thoughtful, considerate parent who is fully aware of everything they're going through. And then the other times of the day, you just think, you little fucking ignorant. Oh, Christ, I wish I'd sent you to boarding school.
How were they when they were little? Were you a hands-on dad?
Well, yeah, to a degree. I mean, I was touring a lot. Mm. It's unstable, so in my, when I was at home, definitely. But, you know, there were periods where I was away for quite a long time.
Yeah.
So it's quite strange for them, really, because they would have me around and then I'd be gone for, you know... Well, when you go on a tour, you're gone for... Technically, you're gone for 3 or 4 months, although you do come home, you know what it's like. So, but really, you're away. In many ways, it would be good to be gone for that period of time. But obviously, your wife needs help, and you come back, and then you go away again. So, yeah, well, I was hands-on as much as I could, and I enjoyed elements of it, and other elements of it I found just awful. Just all the jobs, and you're knackered, and you've got more jobs, and then there's more mess, and then there's more this and that. So sometimes you would find it absolutely enchanting, and other times, as any normal person would probably experience or maybe not admit, so you just go, this is just shit. This is awful. It's got people moaning at me and shouting at me all the time, and I know... In front of me, the whole day, there's just task after task after task, which I was never built for.
No. Well, how are you as well, like, with the sort of small talk at the school gates with the other parents? Because that's something that's unavoidable.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. I'm a fairly good social animal, and I like people. And I know you find that hard to believe.
You're a great person to have a chat with, but if you had to line up some UK comedians and who would be more willing to have a small talk conversation, I wouldn't put you at the front of the list.
No, you're right, absolutely right. Yeah. And that would be very mood dependent.
Yes.
Yes.
And you can, I could tell in your eyes whether to or not have the chat.
Yes, I would, I would be doing that very much deliberately. That would be very contagion of you to spot that message. And I get it just to the right tone. So it's not like start running.
Yeah. Yeah. Just sort of just a nod and a walk past at speed.
Because I go like, no, this, I go, oh, Christ, you're doing your start running look. That's not good. You just want them to not talk to you.
Have you been asked to do speeches or talks at your kids' schools?
Yeah, I've done a few. I did a few quizzes. You know, do charity speeches.
Yeah.
You know, bits and bobs. which is nice to be able to help out.
And do they watch you on telly, your kids?
Yeah, I think they do now, but not. I don't think they choose that. You know what I mean? I don't think they go, right, there's all of Netflix. We finally got them to start using the iPlayer again, and it's not an uncool old fuddy-duddy's piece of software. Because they just had this thing that they would only watch Netflix, really annoying. I'm sure it's another whole other topic. I don't think they'd watch, they have seen me, but I don't think they'd watch me by choice. Not at this age, anyway.
And when they were smaller, Sean, I can't imagine you quaintly playing with a child and pretending you're having a tea party and stuff like that. Did you throw yourself into that? Was that your kind of thing?
Yeah. I know, I enjoyed all that. I love playing games. I love a good Nerf war around the house. I've got my own Nerf gun.
Really?
Yeah. My wife got it for me for my birthday. Brilliant. It's a really powerful one.
They are fun. But you can really buy your way to the top of an Earth War just with it's an arms race.
It's just a shame I didn't have them when I was a kid. Imagine how happy I would have been when I was a kid if you had a gun that actually fired and was considered to be safe. It's an amazing achievement, though. Hats off to Mr. Nerf. I think he's a man, isn't he? He's like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, but instead they're just making guns. You've got Oompa Loompas. Look.
They are actually firing tiny Oompa Loompas. That's what the bullets are.
Well, yeah. I love playing with my kids. Yeah. I used to really enjoy that.
And what about disciplining them? Are you a soft touch, or are you the one that's in charge of telling them off?
I'm a bit all over the place, to be honest. I'm not very good, but I'll be very honest with you. I would say, looking back, I'm not a very good parent. No, seriously.
What would make you say that?
I would say because I'm inconsistent.
Okay.
Which I don't know whether that's a common thing, but I would say my wife's obviously a much better parent than me and really has taken on the reins of dealing with their behaviour, because I would go one minute, I'd be reacting quite strongly towards their misbehaviour, their rudeness, their fuckery. You know, sometimes I just go, what the hell are they doing? Why am I living with these awful people?
What would prompt that? What kind of behaviour would it be? Not being polite?
Shouting at you, just shouting at you, demanding, you haven't done something, you're this, you're that. I mean, my kids are at an age where they swear, and I have to admit, over the years, a few words have tumbled from my lips, which I'm not the most proud of. And so they use those with, you know, justify being. If I swore in my house, I'd just literally get a whack around the head at any age. Maybe at 17 or 18. But, you know, you would get a clout, and I'm quite from a different sort of era. So I'm a bit confused when they start swearing at me. I think, you're supposed to hit people when they swear. Yeah, but I go, I know you can't do that anymore. Shout back at them.
So would you say you're a mood-dependent parent, where if you are in a bad mood, you'll snap?
Yeah, I think I am. And I think I'm really disappointed in myself in that way. I would say I'm a inconsistent parent, yeah, which I think is very... isn't good, and I think is due to the parenting that I had, you know. So I would say I had very inconsistent parenting in many ways. So a lot of unfortunate stuff happened. So I don't have a consistent parenting template.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is what you need. I think, you know, if you had that template, you kind of know how to play the game. And I think that, you know, rather than break the cycle, I've kept it going.
But just reduced it slightly.
Yeah, toned it down a bit.
Took the edge off.
Yeah, toned it down.
So were there things that you wanted to do as a parent to, like, discipline kids or how to treat your kids, and then your wife would be like, no, that's not what you do, but that's what you were used to? Or was you aware of it?
Every hour of the day. Well, not every hour of the day, but I'd say she tells me, no, for God's sake, why have you done... Oh.
Have you got any examples of when that's happened?
Every day. Well, just, she said, why do you engage with them when they start shouting at you? You don't get into an argument with a 15-year-old. You just ignore them, walk away. I had a really good point.
Do you quite enjoy that confrontation and a point of an argument if you think you're right, a back and forth?
Yeah, I don't think I enjoy a confrontation, but I don't have any. I don't reject it as an ideal. I think a lot of people just go, they don't, I can't do confrontation. I don't like confrontation.
Yeah.
I don't have any kind of. I don't embrace it, but I accept it.
Yeah, you don't find it difficult.
Yeah, it's part of everyday life.
Yeah, and I suppose my children are a bit like that. Well, my daughters are, and I would say that would be personality. Just that was what you're given, an extension of it. But also, I would say a good portion of that is due to how both of us have parented them, but possibly my influence has been greater. A lot of people would probably be nodding at things, at some of the things I'm saying. I'm sure it's more common than is admitted.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think that we need to sort of admit that, you know, we fuck up on a daily basis, let alone, you know, monthly basis. So I'd say I fucked up, but I still really enjoy my kids, and I still, you know, have a really good laugh with them. But then seconds later, we're at it.
It sounds quite like a Mediterranean family that are quite passionate.
Well, yeah, I tell them I love them every day, and, you know, more than once a day. And I apologise to my kids when I'm out of order, you know.
I think that's important. I think that's a very new thing where, like, maybe your parents wouldn't have apologised if they'd done something wrong.
Ever.
Yeah.
And how does it go when you apologise to them? Do they apologise to you as well, or is it?
A little bit, but more, it's just it's nodding and go. Well, sometimes my daughter says, now, I bet you after this, when you've finished, you're going to just come back and say sorry in about half an hour. And she hasn't got quite as gruff voice as I'm doing. and she's right. You know, I do, you know, sometimes it is predictable, but at least I do.
Well, I think as well, lockdown, hormones, teenage daughters in a house, it's a boiling pot.
It's really tough on them.
And that also, it must be frustrating, you know, especially when you're looking at your kids learning from home and not being with their friends and stuff like that. Like when COVID ends, as it were, and there's no restrictions or lockdowns, is there one thing that you'd like to do with your family or your kids? Would you want to go on a big family holiday together, or would you want a bit of time away?
Away. So I think we all of us need a break.
So you'll send them on like travelling alone?
Well, my eldest will be old enough to go off on her own.
Yeah.
She'll be 17 with mates, obviously. And I think what we'll do is, like, my wife will take one away and to do something they like doing, and I'll go away with my son.
Do you take your kids football, Sean? I know you're a big Chelsea fan and you've got a season ticket. Do you take them?
Yeah, I do. I do take them. Yeah.
Is that a real nice bonding thing?
It is. Yeah. I might take my daughters as well.
Yeah.
But my eldest one is, because she is so difficult, has decided to support Man City. She doesn't even know where Manchester is.
Just to wind you up, is that?
Yes.
So would you say your eldest is the one you... Is she similar to you then in personality and you clash?
Yes, she's most similar to me, yeah.
Okay. And she's a Man City fan?
Not really, but, you know, she's anything that makes my mouth twitch.
Has she got other little things she does to try and wind you up, Sean? Is it like, I used to put loads of tomato sauce on my dinner to annoy my dad.
Yeah, they do loads of stuff like that. They know your buttons. They know you really well. They know you inside out. They've observed you in a really interesting way, because they've observed you as their brains have developed. So you're deeply imprinted upon them, obviously, but also they've just been watching you be a fucking useless idiot over and over again. So they're sort of watching you going, oh, God, he's done that. He's done this or he's done that. So I think they've been observing you for over a long, long period of time as well, so they know you inside out. If you ask them to do something, like after every meal, I don't think it's a lot to ask. I don't think it's a lot to ask. It's just take your plate up to the... We don't ask them to wash up, because that's just too much of a battle. We've given up on that. But just take your plate from the table to the sink. Would you do that? Could you manage that? Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do it in a minute. I'm just going to do something. Well, no, but you're getting up and walking past the sink. Yeah, but I've just got to do this. You know, just little things that just constantly wind you up. And every day we have to, ask, to the point now where I just go, I just take the plate up. I can't be bothered with the aggro. So you let they do win in that respect.
Do you have, with them being on their phones a lot, do you have like rules on social media and their phones, how long they can be on?
Yeah, and that's the big point of conflict. That's the main point of conflict, is switching their phones off, because my wife has control over their phones from her phone.
Oh wow.
And yeah, you can do that quite easily. You set their phone contract up through yours. Don't ask me how she's done it.
Yeah.
So she can control not just how long their phones are switched on, but also what apps they have and how long they have on those apps.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So what's the main app that they
there's a lot of Instagram, obviously, TikTok, Depop, those kind of things. But what we did with our eldest, we said at 16, we said, right, okay, we'd agreed with her. You have control of your phone and you can monitor it. But it's your job to monitor it. And then, but she was still had the information and she was learning 10 hours a day on it. After 3 months of this, we said, you can't control it, can you? She's like, yes, I can. We go, well, no, you can't, can you? You're 10 hours a day.
10 hours.
I mean, my eldest, I think, is particularly more addicted. My middle one is less. She's more inclined to go off and do stuff. She's actually more, she makes things. She sews a lot and does constructive stuff and paints and does things like that. But my eldest one, yeah, she'll get really stuck into her phone.
I find it amazing. Like the thought of how to decide when my daughter, whenever she gets the age, like it feels to me like it's so foreign from the experience of me growing up when it was TV or maybe a computer game. It like it's because I know what effect it's had on me in the last 10 years, my smartphone. Yeah. It's completely changed my ability to concentrate or my ability to kind of do anything really. Or when I'm not with it, I do feel like withdrawal symptoms really.
Yeah. And you smoke. Yeah. When you smoke, it's bad for your lungs. So you're not allowed to do that until you're older. But you know, the phones are terrible for your mental health and your development, but it's sort of free reign.
Yeah, it's okay, because we never had the debate because the technology came in so quickly.
Yeah.
And because it's not something you directly imbibe, there was never a debate about it in society. And I find that frustrating. And it's really interesting that the heads of most of these big tech companies don't let their kids use phones.
Yeah.
Because they know how they're designed to be addictive. The like button and all that, designed to be addictive. But what it is because parents didn't have the debate, and parents, there's the soft parents who go, yeah, you can go on your phone all the time. So the other kids eventually feel the pressure to go on their phones all the time and be on their phones. So, you know, it's that kind of peer pressure, but it's something that's so powerful that it should be, at least there should be a discussion about banning them.
So did your eldest daughter, when you talk about that and the phones, does she just sort of palm it off as, oh, you're just behind the times, you don't understand, you're older and stuff?
Sometimes she goes, yeah, you're right. Other times she'd just fess up and she'd just go... Because what it is, you don't have the relationship with the content. You have the relationship with the device. That's what's really interesting about it. Not the content. The content is irrelevant. You know, the content... That's why, you know, YouTubers... You know, you may ever met a new YouTuber. How shit is a YouTuber? How low is the standard of work that they present to their audience? How piss poor are they? You know, you think of any YouTuber that would raise anything other than just a mild... but they've got millions of followers because their followers are not discerning in any way. They're the least discerning audience ever created.
Rely on the regularity of, like, if I go there, I know I'll get that. And the quality is never really that big an issue. It's just that it will always be there.
If you showed me a YouTuber with one cell of talent, I'd be shocked.
To be fair, the big ones are the way they produce content, like KSI and people like that, I think could be good. But it's a bit like sketch comedy YouTube. The good ones are incredible, but there's some absolute dog shit knocking about.
Are they? Well, I had a look and I didn't sense that, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm harsh. I'm a harsh.
I was just saying, your kids into YouTubers then, Sean? Are they like? Do they love watching YouTube?
No, they're not. They go on Depop, they look at clothes, and then they go on Instagram.
Yeah, because didn't you move like down to the coast and then come back to London?
Yeah.
Was that a child? Was it the kids didn't get on with it, or was it more just as a family didn't like it?
No, it was well, when we lived in Bow, and then we moved out to Lewis, and I don't really know why. We were talking, my wife has always said, we could spend our whole life in London. It might be good to experience something else. And then you just don't realise what you've set in motion just by just amusing thought with a glass of wine on a sofa. Next minute, you've totally screwed up your life.
So what was it like?
It was awful. No, it's not. There's nothing wrong with Lewis. It's a lovely town. It's just, it wasn't right for us. We're city people, and I knew within half an hour of moving there, because I hadn't really prepared myself mentally, so I'm a stupid bloke. But my wife had obviously done all the preparation and the emotional preparation. And so we got down there, and as these blokes were humping our furniture into the house, one said, oh, lovely garden you've got. I'll see you sitting there in a lounge with a drink. That'd be lovely, that. I was thinking, oh, God. Oh, no, that's what my future is. It's just sitting on a freaking lounger in my lovely garden. And then I walked around the house, and it was a bigger house than we had, much bigger house than we had in London, but with a proper-sized garden. I remember thinking, sat down, and thinking, I don't remember this being part of the plan, living in a massive, big, you know, this was never what I wanted. And then I just sort of was really not upset, but, you know, thinking, oh, Christ, I don't want to. What have I done? And my wife said to me, you can't undermine something we've done this together, and we're going to see it through, and you'll just have to bite your lip. So I did. I bit my lip for a year, and then she came to me and she said, I can't live here either.
Oh, and what did you feel at that point, Sean?
I was just delighted. I leapt up and hugged her and danced around the living room.
And how old were the kids at that point?
My eldest was about 9 or 10.
Oh, so they hadn't started secondary school. But you had to change their primary schools and then move back again.
Yeah. So when we moved back in 2014, we were lucky we got into a primary school around where we live. And they are all really grateful. None of them miss it.
Oh, good.
But it's a lovely place, and the people are really nice. And there's nothing wrong with the place. It just wasn't right for us. But I would always warn people, I say, you know, you think of this idyllic life. There's only so many freaking walks you want to go on.
I'm genuinely I cannot wait for Rose to listen to this episode, because this is what she needs to hear.
Does she want to go? Where does she want
to
go?
Well, no, she doesn't want to go, but I think it's that same thing. It's that kind of, you know, you're...
idealising, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the reality actually is that...
boring. It's really boring. It's fucking... if you want something that's dull... then move out. No, that's wrong, because I'll be upsetting loads of people. Sorry, upset them.
When have you ever cared about upsetting people?
Well, yeah, I know, but, you know, they buy tickets, don't they?
Was it the people, or was it just the amenities, or was it... what was it that you...
They're dull. I mean, it's just boring. It's just... yeah. It's nice in the... I tell you what it is. It's the winter. The winter's awful. It's just dark. That's it. And you got about sort of 4 hours of daylight, and then it shuts down. It's just a small place. I wanted to be in a city. I'm a city person, so there's nothing wrong with that. I found it for me. I missed all my mates, my family. Now I'm so glad I moved back.
Yeah, and I think I think it's good though to admit sometimes if you made an error rather than just gritting your teeth.
When talking about your friends, did you sit around as a family? One of your good friends is Bill Bailey. Did you sit around as a family and watch Strictly this winter?
Yes, yeah, it was great, wasn't it? It was brilliant. It's one of the great pleasures of the week, really.
Are you tempted yourself for next year, Sean?
No, I don't think so. He phoned me up and asked me about whether he should do it or not, and I said, no, I don't think you should do it.
I don't know if he needed to make that phone call to get your response to that.
No, I said no, but they're very, very different people. I mean, it's all the grinning. I couldn't do all the freaking grinning.
Yeah.
And all the sort of... they didn't have to do as much this year because they were all sort of isolating, keeping away from it. But normally they're all sort of like standing around...
hugging and, yeah...
hugging and grinning and hugging. And everyone's so freaking upbeat on the show. So Bill handled it really well. Bill was a very good counterpoint to that, and he handled it his way.
But you're a good dancer, though. I saw you at that Prince concert. You like dancing, don't you? So I think you could do well at it.
I think I probably could learn the dances. I would like to learn to dance, but then I think to myself, but if you want to learn to dance, go and get some dancing lessons. Would it, Sean? You can treat yourself and go and get a dancing lesson. And you go, you don't have to put yourself through the humiliation of a TV show. But Bill asked me, and I said, no. I said to him, look, I said, also, well, I said, what about the curse of Strictly? And he said, yeah, well, I've looked into that. I found out, he said, most of the people weren't very happy in their relationships. And I said, well, of course they said that. I said, they're not going to say, I was really happy in a relationship, but look at what I've just pulled. I just, you know, I couldn't help myself, but I was really happy. So of course they're unhappy. I said, they're bound to that. I said, and also, at the start of Strictly, they were probably very happy in their relationship. But week in, week out, a dancer rubbing themselves up and down your thigh for 8 hours a day, up and down, up and down. after a while, you go, actually, I really like this. This makes me really happy. I said, I don't think I was very happy at home. Because my wife never does this, just rubs herself up and down against me. So I said to Bill, I said, I don't think that's the reason. But he's very upright, standing citizen.
Have you got any more questions, Josh, or should I do my final one?
No, I like your final question, Rob. I'm interested on Sean's response to it.
Well, this is an opportunity, Sean, for if there's something that frustrates you about the way your partner parents, but you can't really say it to her face without a row ensuing, but if she did listen back to this, she could go, oh, that is a fair point, and I might change that behaviour. Is there something that your wife does, parenting-wise, that you don't agree with?
Oh, God. No, not really. She's kind of, like, got it pretty nailed down, really. She's pretty good at it. I mean, I think she probably doesn't recognise her errors as readily as I do. So when she fucks up, because she obviously will inevitably screw up at some point,
yeah,
say the wrong thing. I don't think she's very good at sort of going, yeah. That was a bit of a... But she has to be this kind of rock at the centre of the thing, so maybe that's the reason she, you know, once you start picking away at the rock, you know, what are you left with?
Yeah. Well, what would she say about you, do you think, that frustrates her the most?
She just came in the room right behind... No, joking, lads. She just took... There's a printer next to me, and as I was talking about her... She just crept in and crept out. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Oh, dear.
That's my afternoon. I was hoping to have non-stop sex all afternoon, and now you've ruined it. No.
Thanks, Sean. That's been amazing.
Thanks, that's perfect. Thanks,
so
Sean.
Good.
Nice to speak to you, fellas.
Oh, thanks so much. Cheers, Sean.
Oh, bye.
Sean Locke there, Josh. I was a bit scared of doing that one because I love Sean, but he's quite a scary man.
I'd say he's up there with my favourite comics in the world.
Oh yeah.
But he's also
he is the Roy Keane of comedy.
Yes.
He's a pally, but you can get a bit nervous with him.
Let's be honest. We were all surprised when he said yes to doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought the response would be, do you a fucking podcast? Fuck off.
Yeah, I bet. That's what I was expecting, or no reply, but it was up.
Yeah.
He's probably a bit bored in lockdown, to be fair. It sounds like him and his eldest daughter are two... Like, he's basically
in a pod.
Another Sean Locke that's younger and got more energy than him to argue.
But you know what? I think that's a really good, like, to spot your faults and be self-analytical as a parent. I think is a really big thing to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I thought it was quite interesting. His approach, but yeah, like it's hard though. It must be terrible for people with teenagers because that is the age, 17, that, you know, to go out and do things and get a job and meet people and all that. And it must be frustrating watching your kids not be able to do that, and then getting frustrated and arguing with you just because they would normally be out the house at this point.
Exactly. I think, you know, in a weird way, we are very lucky at the stage in our lives we're at for this lockdown.
Yes.
Having kids our age, where we're not under pressure really to be getting them ready for GCSE, we're not under pressure at all to be getting them ready for GCSE, and they're not worrying about it or any of that.
I think if you was looking at top trumps and like the best age to have, if you was having kids in lockdown, I think it'd be year 5 of primary school.
Yeah.
Where it's like nothing serious has happened. There's no big school coming. They're old enough to sort of navigate the laptop and unmute themselves and do the lessons. Yeah. But not
well,
old enough.
Well, I think the top trump is no kids. The top trump is no kids at all.
What I would say, though, it's top trump's no kids. But if you're not working or whatever, or you're being made redundant on furlough, the days are long. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Rob, it must be awful having really long days and just your hobbies to do. That must be fucking terrible.
Yeah,
long days stretching into, maybe I'll cook, maybe I'll do... Earlier on, I had to decide between exercise or a shower. That was my option.
I know, and I've actually got my eldest with me now because Lou's had to go to the doctor. Do you want to come and say hello quickly on the podcast? Come here. Come and say hello to Josh.
Hello.
Come and sit up here. Let you just say hello. And why don't you say thanks for listening?
Hello.
And you can finish it. Say hello.
Hello.
There you go. You can say hello to Josh.
How are you?
And if you say thank you for listening.
Thank you.
For listening. No? You gone shy?
Yeah.
Anyway, right, I'll be out in a minute. 1 second. Right, we're going to have to go now, Josh.
I understand. I don't feel it. I think it'd be unprofessional for me to say we need to talk about Sean Locke for 10 more minutes when you're looking after your child. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
See you next time.
See you on Tuesday.
Right, bye.
Cheers, bye.